For 6 seasons, we've dived into the themes, metaphors, and foreshadowing of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We are your hosts,
Leah,
Tabby,
and Sarah. Welcome to the final season of Becoming Buffy. Hey guys, welcome back to Becoming Buffy. So today we're going to do something a little bit different. It's been a little bit since we've all three talked. It's been a minute since we've recorded. And I was thinking it would be kind of fun if we got on here and we talked about things that we're passionate about apart from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Originally, okay, full disclosure, originally I was planning on having Leah lead a full episode where she talked about like Avatar or something. I still stand by that. I still think that day Leah should walk us through an episode, but Leah's pregnant, so we're going to give her grace.
Yeah, for real.
And I also knew if I said that, Leah would be like, heck no, I'm not recording.
Yeah, no, especially not right now. Like, no, thank you. And I'm moving next week, so it's like, no, thank you.
Yeah, exactly. So I figured just an abridged version of that. You guys have heard us talk about like so many different things throughout like all of Buffy. Like we talk about Vampire Diaries. We talk about mostly hating on Vampire
Diaries.
You know
what I was thinking is I don't even really know what we're doing here, to be honest. But like I was thinking like what would be funny is not this episode, but if we ever did one in the future, which it's like, what are we even talking about? Like we don't even really have a podcast anymore. We do, but I mean like we're not currently making, there's nothing to be made right now. And so it's just like we don't really have, you know, a consistent whatever.
We're on hiatus.
Yeah,
right now.
Sure.
We're in between projects. You know.
I was like, I'm glad that this is a positive thing and being like, oh, these are the things that we love, but like maybe this is the hater pregnancy hormones in me, but just like being like, it would be so funny to be like, these are my top three shows that I've watched, and I,
you know what,
I either love to hate,
we can watch add
them,
that into this one,
I either love to hate watch them one. Or I just don't understand how people could like
why
them
it was made
or mm-hmm. why it was yeah. made or yeah. I feel like maybe more of a fun version would be like I like to hate watch them, because I feel like there's not many
love
shows I watch where I'm like
totally
how do people watch this. I feel like I can watch any show and be like, it's not for me, but I get why other people like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's trash,
but there are certain shows where it's like it's so bad that it's good, and it's like guilty pleasure shows essentially, where it's like when people ask me like, oh, like what's your favorite show, and it's always something that comes to mind that's like, I'm like, I can't say that's my favorite show because it's actually a terrible show, but it's probably the one I've seen the most, or it's probably
whatever. Yeah, I'm not
going
to tell them that I like to watch this show, but I will go home and watch it.
Yeah, you know? It's probably the one that's going to be on more consistently than the other ones.
Well, if we don't have time today to get to it, that will be our next podcast episode, and I bet you people will tune in because everybody loves to hate on things. So.
Our whole siblings and family just love movies and television, so we could sit here and yap about all of this and still have material. So I feel like there's a lot of avenues in this sort of discussion.
So what I – as kind of like – and we can totally just jump into it, but I had a little bit of like a icebreaker in case we wanted something to talk about before we get into our things. What I was going to ask you guys, is there anything that you guys are currently watching right now that – Tabby's like, okay, go ahead, Tabby.
Okay, I haven't talked to you guys about this. But I've been in,
I know that's why I was like, we should.
Yeah, I've been in such a mood recently of watching stuff I've never seen, movies. And I'm not a person, like, I have to be really convinced to watch a new movie because I don't like experiencing all the stuff that comes with a new movie if I'm not prepared for it.
It's too much anxiety.
It is. But
yeah,
because I have Letterboxd, and me and our sister-in-law, Catherine, you guys have heard before on this podcast, have been like super into our Letterboxd. Like it's so organized. I have like these lists. I have like a watch list on there. I've like organized. It's so fun. I like rate movies.
Follow Tabby on Letterboxd, guys.
Yeah, I write like
see
reviews.
Her essays.
I think it's just Tabs Gibbs on Letterboxd. Like for real, go follow me because I have like 10 followers and I put so much work into it and no one sees it.
She has put, but it's like guys, for me, look at my review for Little Women.
No, guys, my Little Women one is literally a full like educational essay. Like I went in on it. It's like long. It's the only one that's long, but I have so much to say about it. But anyway, oh yeah, it's Tabs Gibbs with S's. Anyway, I watched a couple movies this past month that I think you guys would love. And they're famous movies, mostly. But I just hadn't seen them. And they were on my watch list. Let me pull up my diary. This last week, I watched with a friend, Death Becomes Her. Life-changing.
I want to see that so bad. I love Meryl Streep. It is up my alley,
and I know you guys would love it.
The other one? It's Kurt Russell's
Goldie Hawn.
And then Goldie Hawn. Hudson. Yeah, Kate Hudson's mom.
Guys, and I didn't know Bruce Willis was the guy in it. I was shocked.
Yeah.
I was watching it, and he had never seen him play a character like that. He's so mousy and just like a weak man. And it's the funniest. That everyone is killing it in the movie. It is the funniest. And it's also like, I was watching it, and I was like, this is like a top tier movie, and I've somehow never seen it.
Yeah.
And obviously Meryl Streep in anything is amazing, but like her playing a character like this is everything I would have wanted her to be in a movie. It's so good, you guys. I was dying. I love it so much. And then I wrote a review on it. It was really quick. Then I watched Best in Show last week, and it's like a mockumentary from like a dog show, and it's a very famous movie with like Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy, and they play a couple like so many of those movies. And she the whole time is like she keeps running into people she's like slept with, and he's like this really dorky insecure man, and they're all like hitting on her the entire time. And it's so funny. And Jennifer Coolidge is in it, and she's in a secret relationship while she's married. It's the funniest, guys. It's like, it's so dry humor.
When was it made?
In 2000. And it's the same director. Wait, and really? Uses the same same actors and different mockumentary styles for different things. I'm gonna go and watch all of them because I was dying laughing. And it's so funny. It's a famous movie. I feel
like Jennifer
too.
Coolidge in anything just is gonna like captivate
me. Also,
and Parker
O'Hara.
Posey plays a character, adult woman with braces, and she freaks out over her dog, has like a crash out. It's like, it is so funny. It's very dry though. When you watch it, it's like very slow.
I love dry humor though.
You would love it, Sarah. And it's so intelligently written. And then I watched Palm Springs with it's like a movie came out in 2020. It's a time loop movie, but it's like an allegory for depression, and it's really, really good. And it's with Andy Samberg and then the mother from How Much Mother. And it's like really, really good. They're on like vacation, and then he gets her accidentally into a time loop, and he's been there for God knows how long. And then it's like this like beautiful progression about like what depression feels like and how they had to get out of it. And like, it's just really well done. The guy who plays J. Jonah Jameson is also in it. He plays a really funny character.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a stellar cast. I'd seen commercials for it, but I didn't know it was a time loop movie. I just thought it was a rom-com. And I watched it and I was like, it's actually really profound, but also genuinely funny. And it's just like a very tight movie. But anyway, those are the three main. Oh, The Birdcage. Sorry. I watched The Birdcage with
mind you, none of this was planned. Tabby's like,
no, literally,
with her list, rolls it out.
It's like an Oscar-winning movie with Robin Williams, and like he like owns a gay like burlesque show, and then he's like married to the star of it, and they're a gay couple, and then their son is marrying a conservative politician's daughter, and then they have to pretend like they're a normal family, and then they have to and they have to like revamp the entire apartment, and it is like the performances are so, I was like crying of laughter, and it's like obviously a very well-known movie, I just hadn't seen it. I was dying laughing. Like at one point, like his partner dresses up as a woman, and then they think she's an actual woman. And apparently Robin Williams was offered that role, but it was right after Mrs. Doubtfire. And he was like, I want to do something different. So he plays the more like traditional masculine partner. But it's like all the performances are amazing. It's genuinely so funny. It's very heartwarming. That's but anyway, hilarious. Those are the best ones.
Well done, Tabs. Wow. All right, Leah, what have you been watching recently?
I haven't, I feel like it's just been so random. So I finally got around to watching Superman.
What'd you think?
Because, I mean, it was amazing. Duh.
Yeah.
It was super, super good. I loved it. I think it was just an excellent comic book adaptation of a superhero. Mm-hmm. Very minimal notes. But I was waiting for it to get on streaming services because I did not feel like going to the movies right now. Yeah. And then I have been watching so much One Piece. For those of you who don't know, One Piece is an anime that's like the longest running anime ever. It's still going. It's so long. And it was like started in like the 90s or something. It's like over 1,000 episodes. And my husband is obsessed. He's fully caught up on the manga.
Do you like it?
I like it. So here's the thing. It's so long that there's this thing called One Pace online where it literally cuts out filler for you to watch it faster.
Oh, that's nice.
Which
that makes sense.
At first we weren't doing that. We were watching I think I got maybe 100, 200 episodes in, and I just kept complaining that the pacing was so slow. Yeah. Like I would tell my husband, I'm like, oh my God, there's going to be like one diehard One Piece fan and I'm going to get so much hate.
There's going to be so many.
But I kept telling my husband, I was like, there's really, really good parts of the show, but there's so much filler. There's so much just like, not even just filler, but just like things that are super, super drawn out that I'm like, it's almost irritating to me. Like I'm getting frustrated that the good moments are like, it takes forever to get there. And so finally, after like one specific arc, he was like, okay, we're going to do One Pace, which is like, essentially it's the story is the same and they keep in all the important parts, but instead of like, you know, something happens and it cuts to every person's reaction, which yes, that happens. Mm-hmm. It just cuts it immediately, like to like the important stuff. It still leaves in like character development, funny moments. Like you still have the heart of the show, but just like without the drawn out parts.
Yeah.
And it's still... is long. Like it's a good show. I understand why people like it. I enjoy a lot of it, but I still do feel like, whoa, like this could be so condensed. And I'm watching the condensed version, but they're also making like a updated version of it, like a newly animated one where they're going to condense it. Where they're gonna sense. Like heavily, like I think like there's like guys, some of these arcs are like 500 episodes. An arc! So they're in that's one insane. Place for like 500 episodes. Yeah, it's insane.
How long is each episode?
20 minutes.
See, okay. I would forget.
Like, so in like one at a pace, certain point, it's different. No, you can't. Trust me. You cannot forget because it's so like... And there's so many flashbacks. There'll be a flashback where it's like,
you need flashbacks.
I just saw this. I just saw this. I don't need a flashback. This was in the last episode. Like sometimes the flashbacks are useful if it was like five arcs ago.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah.
Which One Piece does a good job of like putting in, you know, the ones that are actually useful. Whereas the original one, it would literally show me a flashback from to the beginning of the arc. I was like, I'm watching this. I just saw this. But if you're watching it in real time, it could have been a year since you've seen that.
Yeah.
Because that's how long, whatever. So I'm in. So the arc I'm in right now is Wano. And I think there's one more arc until I'm fully caught up to current. So,
wow, good for you.
But this only arc is the longest arc.
To go.
So I'll be here for a while. So I've been watching that takes up a lot of my time. Like an arc is like a full storyline. So like an arc will be like they'll be because I mean the whole premise of it is that it's like there's this like pirate crew and this pirate captain and they're like traveling this place, this globe, their globe, and he wants to become like the pirate king. Like that's his like goal. Yeah. Obviously, I'm very much simplifying it, but that's his thing. And so each arc is essentially them at a specific island, beating a specific boss, learning a specific thing. Like, so they'll go to this, like, because also, like, you know, each arc, there's usually, like, a big pirate boss or a big, whatever that he needs to, like, fight to get stronger and he gets, like, a step closer to becoming the pirate king, whatever. So each arc is, like, spent in one place usually. So you know sometimes there's like small arcs that are like two episodes where it's like they go to this island and they meet some friends and they have a little party and that's it, you know.
Leah's like, wait, like small... let's get back to the arc.
Yeah, well sometimes those are fine because like you spend like 800 episodes that's in the true. Other arc, so it's like, yeah, sure, have a party. But
like all allowed, I guess.
No, I mean, but it does start to just get, I'm like, oh my gosh, like Like, I'll be watching a fight that's literally going on for like 6 episodes, and that is like me that's me being nice.
One
like
fight?
Yes. On one fight. On one fight, guys. Like, it's so, it, you know, some of it is, you know, it is interesting. But the hard part is,
back to my original question.
The hard part, the hard part is that like the good parts of it are really good. Like, there is a lot of like satisfaction in it.
Yeah.
And like the main characters are very interesting. I love Luffy. I think he's so interesting. Like, it's also like, it's funny because now, because I'm watching it and Simon and I are talking about it, that's what I get on my TikTok, is like people talking about One Piece, which I'm like, I should not be here. We're very different. Like, I'm a very casual watcher of the show, and they're like talking about like, yeah, in episode
people
blah, blah, blah. I'm
so
like,
into One Piece. Oh wow. Yeah.
Oh well, yeah. I mean, it makes sense. Like, it has a cult following. It's been going for so long. Like, and people want to know the ending so bad. Like, it's
when is
you know,
it
whatever.
End? Do we know?
I mean, if it's been going for this long,
so,
I would want to know the ending too.
So it's literally, so according to Simon, so if my information is wrong, don't blame me, I'm getting all of it from Simon, but according to Simon, the creator, I think his name is Oda, but the creator already has the ending of the show written, and he has it like he's only told like one other person, so just in case he dies, someone knows the ending.
Oh dang.
Like, it's like, yeah, apparently it's, I'm telling you, it's a big deal. And he has, I think he has like one or two more arcs. I think it might be one, I don't know, one or two more arcs until the ending of the show. But don't get your hopes up, because each arc could be like 5 years. Mm-hmm. I think he said that he wants to end the show in the next 5 years. But we'll see. Yeah, but I mean, it is good. I really do. I do like it. I think it's just, I think it would be a perfect show if it was remade and condensed.
Aren't they doing a live action? Or did I just make that
they
up in
my are,
brain?
They are. No, they're currently, like, the first season, I think the first two seasons maybe are out, or their first season's out with Netflix.
So they have to do that all again, just.
Well, no, so the live action was, like.
They'll condense it.
The live action was Netflix's kind of, like, separate thing. Like, that was, like, something that I think the creator definitely, like, is a part of it. But I think he's always been more about, like, the actual anime and stuff. And the studio that I think is taking it over is the same one that did Attack on Titan, which you guys don't know either. But
I've seen a couple episodes. I actually like
Attack on Titan's animation is really good. And so if their style ends up looking more like that, I think that'd be really cool. But so that's a lot of what I've been watching. I've been watching that. And then I've been watching, like, when I'm doing laundry and stuff, I've been, like, slowly moving through a Modern Family. Although, I like it, but it's a little boring, so I might kind of switch to watching Abbott Elementary instead.
Oh, I love Abbott. You might like it, Leah.
I've seen a lot of clips online, and it's really funny. And I do like Modern Family. I think it's just a little, like, slow for me. I'm very picky about comedies. Like, I'm not a huge fan of The Office. I think it's like very inconsistent. I like Parks and Rec. I think it's more consistent, but even still, there is some times where I feel like some of it falls a little flat. So I think I'm just kind of a hater when it comes to comedies, because I feel like if I can predict where it's going to go, or if it feels too like, oh, this character is going to react like this and this, like, it stops being funny to me. But
yeah, I think a lot of people really like shows like The Office and Parks and Rec and Modern Family because they fall in love with the characters, and so to them it's just fun, and it's like a comfort thing to see their characters that they love doing things, and it doesn't really matter what they're doing, or it's like their very specific brand of humor. But if you're watching it more for, I want to see development, I want to see whatever else, then you might not get that out of all of those shows. Although I will say, I do know The Office had some, and then Parks and Rec definitely had some over time.
It's not that I need development. I think I just more of like, I don't want to feel like going into each episode, it's like, okay, the whole episode's going to be about this, whatever it is, you know, it's going to be about so-and-so's first day of work or whatever. And then it's like, I can guess like, oh, this person's going to be really stressed about like so what's our habit? This person's gonna like.
It becomes very formulaic.
Yeah, where it's kind of like it felt like, I don't know. But I also, again, I think that I just am a hater. Like, I think I'm very critical.
I think it's just not your
style.
Yeah,
I think I'm just kind of very critical of that genre in general. So I think that when I don't like it, I think it's more of a me thing than like the show's thing.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, so Leah, when I was out there in July, Leah and I watched K-pop Demon Hunters, which has become my children's hyper fixation.
And like every kid
in the
world.
Yeah.
The music is just amazing and fantastic. And as a music buff, I'm just like, I can't get enough of it. And then what else? We watched The Idea of You, which we watched it to be haters. We watched it be
Hathaway. With Anne Hathaway.
And it actually was fairly decent. Yeah. Like,
out of all the Wattpad movies.
I went with my expectations extremely low, and I think I was surprised at how much depth they actually put in it instead of, like, whatever. But
yeah, it's not one of those you sit down to go, okay, this is going to be a thinker. It was very much like I went in to be like, oh, she's so stupid the entire time. And they actually made her pretty likable, which is just, I think, partially Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, I was about to say, I was like, I think that's mainly Anne Hathaway, low-key.
Yeah, it's mostly Anne Hathaway. But yeah, so we watched that back in July. And then Andrew and I watched Sinners recently.
Oh, I need to see that.
Really loved that. Really loved that. It was so good. It was one of those movies where we sat and talked about it for an hour afterwards, just kind of dissecting all of the, like, the different people groups and ethnicities and of the time period.
And how
just,
the music
like,
ties
it was
in
such,
with it, too.
And how the music ties in, but even more than that, culturally, too. Like, it was so interesting at one point, like, you have the Native Americans show up for one scene as kind of, like, harbingers. And then nobody listens. They're trying to warn the white people of the dangers.
Interesting.
The white people don't listen to them, don't even let them in the house.
Wow.
And they're trying to say, hey, the vampires are coming, basically. And the white people go, no, we don't trust you. We don't believe you. So the Native Americans are like, all right, then. And so as they leave, you see carrion. Go on top of the house. Like, it's kind of like they're harbingers. Like, both the Native American people and the animals know that these people, the white people, are in danger. And that's the last time you see them, the only time you see them in the entire movie. Like, how much symbolism is there in
that's
that?
That's crazy.
I know. And I mean, you can dissect every single scene. Like, it just was fantastic. Like, this idea of how, like, cultural appropriation through music, but it's also like, obviously the bigger picture is an entire culture being taken up, but also how you can have colonizers hurting all these people, and then people who have been colonized turn around and become colonizers as well. And it's very, very interesting, and I'm sure there's so much that I could say. And there's so much that has been said, specifically by, like, Black content creators and Indigenous people and stuff have had some fantastic takes that are just great. But yeah, that would be a really fun one to sit down, like, sink our teeth into and discuss and dissect at some point if we ever wanted to. But yeah, really, really great. We loved that a lot. Andrew and I are rewatching Stranger Things right now because we have the new episodes coming out.
I'm in season 3.
Next month. Yeah. Well, I was thinking, Tabs, you're going to be out for Christmas. We're going to get to watch
I was literally
the
about to
episodes.
Text you about that because I forgot.
I'm so excited.
Because it was like last week and I was like, oh my word, I've only seen the show through once and I don't remember a lot of it. So I was like, oh, I need to rewatch.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So yeah, season 3.
Andrew and I have rewatched it every time a new season was coming out. So we've seen the first 3 seasons about like 3 times now. And then we saw the 4th season. We've seen it about twice. So we started to watch through the entire thing. And then both of us were like, we've kind of seen this enough. So we're just rewatching the 4th season for the second time. I think we might go back. Steve is my all-time favorite character.
Oh,
so
I love
we might
Steve.
Go back and watch some of my favorite Steve episodes. Yeah. But yeah, I think I've talked about it on here, but if we were ever to like do another show, Stranger Things would be a really fun one to discuss and talk
about that
podcast.
Show.
And it's finally ending.
I know. 10, 11 years later, craziness.
Yeah, insane.
Yeah. So, okay, you guys wanted to talk about the things that we actually came here to talk about?
Yep.
Our favorite stuff are things that we really like apart from Buffy or whatever else, however else you guys want to do it. Who wants to go first? Tabs? Leah?
I feel like you should go first since you answered the question last time.
Okay. All right. So I had a really, really hard time. And so I kind of bent the rules a little bit for my own rules. I'm not going to really talk about something that like I'm super passionate about or really, really like. This is a show that Andrew introduced to me like about a month ago. And I'm on the fence. So it is a good show. I wouldn't say it's like amazing, mind-blowing. It was like just shy of being like super duper duper great. But it's called Midnight Mass. Have you guys ever heard of it? Mm-hmm.
Is that the same guy who did
Mike yes. Flanagan, yeah, who did yeah, Haunting yeah, yeah. Hill House,
is it good?
Other stuff. Tabs.
Well,
have
obviously
you seen
it's
it?
Good. I'm about to recommend it.
Well, that's so funny you say that. Yeah. I have not seen Midnight Mass.
Because you're going to do Haunting
yeah,
Hill House,
I am.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew it. Yeah. I was like, wait,
no,
so you're talking about the character. Because
I was going to talk about Mike Flanagan. Hello. Mike Flanagan, about a director in general too, because he puts out some really, really good stuff and then also some ones where you're like, this is so close to being so great and there's something
yes.
missing. But I've heard
yeah, and that's
Midnight
how I feel
Mass
about Midnight Mass
is like one of those where like people either are like obsessed with it or people are like, this is so good, but I'm curious I really want to hear your opinion on it, because I've shied away from it only because I am under the impression, and I could be wrong, I don't like cult-like religious sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was getting the vibe from that series. That's the only one other than Fall of the House of Usher that I haven't
Fall
seen, because he
House
has
of
four
Usher, yeah.
miniseries.
Yeah.
But I'm curious. I'm really excited to actually hear you talk about it, because if you've seen it, I really want to hear what
so,
you're saying.
So, yeah. I'll try it. It's really hard to talk about without spoilers, so I will try as hard as I can. Mm-hmm. But, okay, so – again, I have a really hard time like being like, oh yeah, you should watch it. You should watch it, because the thing about it, you guys know me, like Tabby, I've told you about like one of my favorite shows or my favorite movies that I showed you is Meet Joe Black. Like I yeah. adore mm-hmm. that movie. But if you guys have never seen it, it's almost like 3 hours long mm-hmm. and it's just very artistic and
That's
a lot of like,
though.
I mean, it has mm-hmm. Brad Pitt, which I know like it's Brad Pitt back in the 90s when he was doing a lot of really good work. Mm-hmm. And then it's got Anthony Hopkins, who mm-hmm. is like my favorite actor, and just like some fantastic actors and a lot of just like beautiful like soliloquies and stuff and dialogue. But it's very, very wordy and like there's lots of long shots. And so it's one of those things that you kind of have to go into it knowing like you're going to sit down and watch an art piece basically. Yeah. And it's going to be a great message, but sometimes it can be just like too – the word is what's the word for like stuffy? Like it takes itself a little too seriously.
Oh, I know which word you're looking for.
You know what I'm talking yes. about. Yeah. But it's like it takes itself a little too seriously. It's a little too navel-gazy. Midnight Mass is that. And I think that's yeah. the weakest thing for it. It is very much about like religious abuse, manipulation. Mm-hmm. It is cult-like, but not quite. Mm-hmm. It's got a supernatural twist to it, flavoring, because of course it's Mike Flanagan. Yeah. But with all of that, there's long, long, long moments of someone just quoting scripture as a way to like manipulate someone. Mm-hmm. But it's not done super well all the time. Sometimes it's like, boom, this is mind blowing. Like mm-hmm. the way that this person is manipulating these people is like so clever, so well done. And then there's this one character that just keeps doing it. And you're like, why is everyone just sitting here listening to her talk for 7 minutes? Mm-hmm. And like, she's totally twisting scripture in a way that even someone who's not familiar with the Bible and stuff would be like, this is really, and it's like so clear it's self-serving. And so there are times where the show, I'm just like, we get it. Like, come on, like move on. And I think the ending of the series is unfortunately the weakest part of it. It's only one season long. It got canceled after one season. The first like 2/3 of it is fantastic, incredible. The last bit kind of falters a little bit because it goes less from the emphasis being on the religious manipulation and kind of like the background stuff to bringing the more supernatural element up to the forefront. And so it loses that little bit of edge and it just kind of tips over into full-blown horror in some ways. And it feels like some of the character arcs, they weren't quite fleshed out enough for there to be a satisfying enough conclusion. But the overall – and also the conclusions that they come to about like existentialism and man and like what it all means and stuff, I find to be – It kind of – they hit you over the head with it. And I also don't quite agree with the conclusions, but also like they're also like basically spoon feeding it to you. So at a certain point, it's like we've lost the nuance. We've lost some of the stuff. I'm again trying to speak in circles. But basically the premise is there's this like island where it's kind of like an old fisherman's town and it's kind of slowly dying. Not many people live there anymore, and the people that are like very, very established. And we follow we follow this character. His name is Riley Flynn.
No way.
And his name is Riley Flynn.
Sarah did this just arranged
me. No, literally.
No, guys. No, okay. Here, let me like set the scene for you. Andrew didn't want to tell me. He's like, Sarah, you have to watch this. And I was like, Andrew, I'm finishing up the podcast. I don't have time. Yeah. And so I finally finished and I was like, all right, I'll sit down. What is this even about? And he goes, it's a commentary on religious abuse and all this stuff. He didn't tell me anything else other than that. Mm. We watched this first episode and it's this guy named Riley Flynn. I didn't clock that his name was Riley Flynn until halfway through the show. And I was like, why is this name so familiar?
You blocked him out of your brain.
He's like a military guy.
Yes. And then at one point I said it out loud. And I was like, why is Riley Flynn? And then I was like, are you kidding me? But like, Mike Flanagan takes a lot of inspiration from Buffy. Straight up. Yeah. And so it's very clear, like, he's following roughly like kind of Riley's, but also a bit of Angel's arc of this idea of addiction, but also like deprogramming yourself. And so like Riley Flynn of all things. So it's really interesting because the first episode, there's like animals that are like going missing, like a bunch of cats or something like that. And you see like this person or this animal getting like grabbed by something. And I was like, he, it's a vampire, isn't it? And I was totally joking, not knowing that there was any supernatural aspects in this show. And then halfway through the season, boom, you find out it's a vampire show.
Oh, it's vampires? Shoot, maybe I'll watch it.
Vampires.
I'm like, I love vampires.
No, it is. Yeah. So it's the premise is there's this priest. He comes to replace this old priest in this town. You're following Riley Flynn. Riley Flynn is getting out of penitentiary. He has been in prison for, I think, 5 years because he got drunk and he killed a girl in a car. And so he's like dealing with the demons of his past, comes back. He's fully agnostic at this point and or atheist. I think he's an atheist. Yeah. He's fully an atheist at this point and has deconstructed while in prison, comes back. There's also this girl that he and her, they were boyfriend and girlfriend. She is getting out of a long-term relationship. She's also coming back from the mainland and she's pregnant. And his whole family is very, very religious. And pretty much everybody on the island is religious, with the exception of a few like outcasts. Mm. And then the doctor is an atheist as well. And she's also gay, but her mother is devoutly religious and has dementia and is dying, but she doesn't want to leave the island because she doesn't want to take her mom away from the only people she's ever known. And then there's a sheriff who's brand new and he and his son are Muslim.
Interesting.
So there's a lot of interesting characters. The new priest, there's something up with him. I wish I could tell you like the whole spoilers and stuff, but vampires are involved. And so you can kind of see how the vampirism kind of ties into this idea of religious manipulation.
Sucking the life out of people.
Yeah, sucking. And then there's addiction. Mm-hmm. So like thirsting for something and how that ties into. Mm-hmm. And it's just there's one episode in particular. If you guys have seen this, you'll know it's like towards like the back end of the show that is just literally mind-blowing, fantastic, so good. Like, yeah, it's one of those that's like got some, I would recommend watching it because it's got some fantastic moments and elements. Yeah. It just don't expect it to be like stick the landing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's got Riley Flynn. So
that's
watch
so funny
it for
that. Riley Flynn that's and insane. Then some more arcs and then vampires all in one. That I didn't think it was going to be three things. That's crazy.
Yeah, and like dealing a lot with like death and, you know, purpose of life, and then also
that sense of being
like
his mantra.
How religious organizations, how religious organizations can really take advantage of people, but then this idea of like you have multiple different religions and what if we're all worshiping the same God, but it's just a God by a different name and stuff. Mm-hmm. So like it's just a lot of really interesting stuff. If anyone does watch it, like message me because I'd love to talk about it because it's got a lot of stuff to chew on. But yeah, I would be very interested in your guys' take if you ever watch it. But yeah.
And I like that it's one season, non-committal.
Yes. It's only one season. And it honestly it kept my attention for like quite a lot of it. So the guy who plays the priest is such a good actor. Oh my gosh.
He picks good people.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll go next. I didn't really follow the prompt either. Instead of doing one, I chose three. Because I felt like everyone knew I was going to do Avatar. So I didn't want to just do Avatar because I felt like it was a little repetitive. So I'll start with Avatar because it's just perfection. Avatar is a show I'd recommend to anyone, all ages. Literally, because I told Simon about it and he was like, "You're going to recommend a kid show?" And I was like, yeah,
duh. Oh, Simon would love it. Has he not seen it?
No, he's seen it. He's seen it. It's just a perfect show from beginning to end. There's quite literally like one filler episode, and even the filler episode is not bad. It's just like filler. There's very rare shows that I would say from start to finish, each season gets progressively better. The characters feel fully fleshed out, have full arcs. And this is one thing that I feel like a lot of shows really struggle in is knowing when to end. When to end and how to end and how to tie it all together. I think that becomes the downfall of a lot of shows.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of Avatar's strongest points. I know there's a lot of people, because in like 2020, 2021, Avatar had a resurgence because it got put back on Netflix. And a lot of people, I remember, were being like, we want more seasons, we want more seasons. And I was of the opinion of like, no. Like, the story in its entirety is exactly how long it should be. It's exactly like, if they wanted to do a time skip and do like the, you know, decade in between or the decades in between him and Korra, I was fine with that, like when they were in their teens. But a continuation of the original story, I was against. Because I felt like the story, the three seasons were perfect. Yeah, there's not much I can say about it because I feel like either A, it's going to be spoilers, or B, people already know the general idea of it. But I literally am like, it's like my comfort show. It was when I was a kid. It is as an adult. I feel like I've showed that show to so many people, and I feel like people always start off and they like look at me like I'm crazy because the first few episodes are very like more kiddish. And so they like look at me like, oh my God, like, bro, I have to sit through three seasons of this. And then by the end of season one, like I can tell people are locked in, and I'm like, yeah, like I know what I'm talking about. So yeah, above all, I literally could talk about it forever. I have the comics after the show. Love those. Like, I love the show. I think it's a beautiful world. I could talk about it all day. But I feel like I already have. So I feel like that's all I'm going to say about it. Unless, you know.
One of these days we'll have you lead us through like an episode or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or going through character arcs or something. I don't know.
The Secret Tunnel episode.
I don't want to. Yeah. I don't want to spoil things because I think that. I mean, there's probably stuff that a lot of people, if you haven't seen it, you probably have something spoiled, like, because it's been around for so long. But there's just something beautiful in, like, watching it and just experiencing it. The other show I'm going to talk about is Game of Thrones. And I want to talk about Game of Thrones because I feel like Game of Thrones is so widely known for ending so poorly. And I'm not here to argue that point because I think it's undeniable. No matter how you fall on the ending, it was not done well. Even if that's how you wanted the ending to end, it was not done well. But to me, the show itself is so strong that the last season being poor does not stop me from loving so much of the show. It's so good. I am a sucker for dragons, anything dragons. Every single actor in that show, literally, it's as if they were born to play those roles. Yeah. Like, it is insane. I cannot express that enough. Like, they, and a lot of these people, like, they grew up in these roles. Like, the kids were hired as kids, and then by the end of it, they're, like, in their 20s, and they still are, like, just so, like, because, you know, sometimes, like, kids get hired and they're like a good kid actor and they are not they good when they're older.
Yeah, Will Byers.
Yeah.
He was such a good kid actor. No, I was watching. I'm like, what happened?
Like, yeah. But I, like Game of Thrones is not like that. I think the writing is so strong. It's so well done. It's just overall an amazing watch. And if nothing else, I think the fact that people feel so strongly about the ending of the show is a testament to how much people cared about the show. Like, because I mean, there are shows that end poorly and you're like, oh, that sucked. Didn't like that ending. But like the ending of this show was so polarizing to people because people have such strong opinions on how it should have ended on opposite directions. And if we want to talk about that, that'll be a different episode because I could be here all day on who should have been on the Iron Throne and why and all that.
We'll save it for our hater episode.
Yeah, seriously. I'll save it for the spoiler episode. Although I feel like if you don't know at least a lot of the spoilers from Game of Thrones.
I think you can spoil because it's been out for a while.
So I knew a lot of the spoilers before I even watched Game of Thrones because I watched it after it all aired. Because I remember when it was coming out and I didn't really understand what it was. I didn't understand the hype. I thought that it was like a medieval show. And I was like, I didn't really want to watch that. and then I remember something about
Merlin's
dragons.
Merlin's burned you?
Yeah. No, I love Merlin, dragons but Merlin, and Merlin. But yeah. I can't watch just a medieval show. Like, it has to have magic.
Totally.
Like, I thought it was just going to be knights and queens. And I was like, that's not my thing. Like, you have to have magic in there. Otherwise, it's a no-go. Mm-hmm. And then I remember hearing about Daenerys' dragons because they don't really come into play much until like the middle of the show. And so I think that's when it started to like, I would hear more about it. And I was like, wait, dragons, like when did that come into play in the show? And then I think I was
it was like rewinds.
I remember being in high school, I think, and hearing people talk about the ending and hearing about people talk about how pissed off they were about Daenerys and her ending.
Seeing memes about it.
And it was like everywhere on Twitter. It was like huge.
Yeah.
And I just remember being like, damn, okay, guess I won't watch it then because like it sounds like it sucked.
I remember Sarah Michelle Gellar posting about it, and that's how I found out about the
so
ending.
So many people
compared
did.
It to Buffy and Angel.
Huge. It was huge. Like people
Yeah.
And then I remember when Sam and I first started dating. I was like telling.
Oh, I remember that.
How it came up. But I remember, I think I mentioned how much I loved dragons, and he was like, "Oh, so you love Game of Thrones?" And I was like, "No, I've never seen it." And he's like, "You've never seen? That's like the only show, really, that's out currently about dragons." And I was like, "You know, that's a good point, but like, I heard it sucks." And he was like, "Well, like, there's so many good points to the show. Like, you should watch it."
Yeah.
So then him and I watch it, and I was like, oh my gosh, like it's so good. And now it's so interesting because I feel like Game of Thrones is one of those shows that has become so pivotal in pop culture.
Yeah.
That it's really something that you can point to and be like, oh, this was taken from Game of Thrones, or this reminds me of Game of Thrones, or blah, blah,
I think
blah.
It's so interesting how like I think all three of us are unanimous in saying that like we really feel like the ending of a show obviously can make or break a show, but I think we've all learned too that to enjoy the journey as well, and that like there definitely are some shows that it's just very hard to go back because of the ending, but it doesn't negate all the really good stuff that the show did,
and I
think
also
I'm learning to appreciate that, you know.
I think it's also because of the nature of the show, so many people die, so many people whatever, it's a little bit easier to go back and rewatch and maybe not like the ending, at least in my opinion, because I can go back and be like, but there's still so many amazing things that they did.
Yeah,
there's still so many like, and there's just so
many
dialogue
arcs.
And so many, like, there's just so much in that show that I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, I think the writer is kind of like, he's got some issues. He's got to work out like a lot of incest, a lot of things like that, where I'm like, what's this necessary? But he has a brilliant mind. Like, it's just insane how
and the villains are just so good.
The villains are amazing. The heroes are amazing. No one is like this innocent dove in the movie, like, or in the show. Like, everyone is somehow has their hand in this like dirty paw, essentially. And it's like some people are doing the best with what they're given, and like some people are, they're really flawed, but you understand why. And other people are like pretty much like fully like evil, but it's so interesting to see the way they work and the way they, like, oh, one of my favorite characters is just, like, an awful character. Like, just not, like, redeemable at all. But he's so interesting to watch. Like, he's so interesting, and they make him so intelligent. And I love that. I love being able, like, it's rare that there's a full cast that's so big. And it and, spans so many, like, and they're all, like, they're all in different parts of the globe. They're all, like, a lot of them don't even interact for most of the show. But what they do affects each other. And most, I would say there was, like, one or two characters that I was like, when they were on screen, I was like, I'm bored, bored. Not going to tell you who because people would get mad at me. But but like for the most part, like majority of the characters, I was like, whoa, this is really interesting. Like this is so cool.
And that's hard to do.
Yes. Oh my God. And for years, for years, it wasn't just like a 2-season show. It was an 8-season show. No, yeah,
it was. It took over pop culture in a way that we haven't seen since, like The Office.
Yes, no, it was huge. I mean, people still obviously people still mention it as this huge thing. Like, crazy. It was the
gold standard for TV shows.
Yeah, well, and I mean, there's so many spinoffs. Then you have House of Dragon, which is amazing. Yeah, which I'd recommend House of Dragon too.
Fantastic.
House of Dragon is so good. And then it's like, I think they're making another one now. I don't know if that I'll watch. Are that they really? One. They're making another spinoff. Oh. I forget what it's about, but it's not about the Targaryens. I think it's about the like.
I will say, and I don't care if people get mad at me. If it's about the freaking North, I'm not going to watch that. That was the only storyline. I'll say
I think it's
Amelia.
I think it's a prequel. I was bored. I think it's a prequel. The North. So.
Okay.
I think it's like a previous story. Because I mean, obviously like. I feel like they don't want to touch after because they know a lot of people hated it. So they're like, let's
I don't
go
know
back.
Why they don't just fix it. Like, I bet you the actors would be like, yeah, let's go fix
well,
that.
Well, oh, yeah, like, probably.
No, some of them are burned, though. Some of them were like, the last table read, some of them were like, crying.
A lot
and
of
mad.
People think that.
Well,
like,
I know I've seen, but I would imagine they would want to rectify. Like, I feel like they would want
I think
to.
They would, honestly. I think a lot of them would be like, yeah, I'll come back and rectify. I don't think anyone was happy with that ending.
No,
but,
no, you could tell.
Yeah, like, there was like two pretty large choices that people thought the show was going to deviate in. And it went for this, like, not even like third kind of out of the box option.
Yeah.
It was for something like the 10th one that was like so out of the box to the point where it was like stupid.
Disrespectful.
Like it was like, yes, disrespectful is a good word for it. Like it really was like, okay, you just wanted to be different so bad that you sacrificed good writing for it.
Yes. There's a side character. I won't say what happens or whatever, but they die in such a unceremonious way in like random episode in season Varys. And I was so mad about how that happened.
Oh my God.
And it just was like random because
no,
he's, like, he's supposed to be like the hand of the king for so long.
He dies,
so intelligent.
He dies because of Tyrion's bad arc.
Yes,
like,
and
it's all
wasted
because it comes back to Tyrion.
It's just
that's
like, and Tyrion was so good. I really
Tyrion
liked Tyrion.
Tyrion was so strong in the first 6 seasons. He was one of my favorite characters.
Yes, especially his season 4
then
was so good with his trial.
Seven, in season 7, it was kind of like, he was kind of like, I liked him. I thought him being with Daenerys, I was like, yes, love, this is going to be so good.
And then it didn't.
They just completely, they completely made his character go in a circle.
Yep.
Like, his character started out, like, hating his family but still having this like kind of like loyalty to them that he couldn't kind of curve out, like he couldn't carve out. Then when Tyrion starts to kind of grow on his own is when he finally like breaks away from his family and is like, no, I don't care if you're my family, you're rotten people, like you're bad people. But then in the end he completely goes back to him being like loyal to
and
his
he
family
getting,
he makes so many poor decisions based on
getting
his
rewarded.
Loyalty to his family.
He keeps getting rewarded for making poor decisions that he would have been killed if it were any other character. He would have been beheaded.
Well, and he just like he was a bad hand to Daenerys, like
yes, and then he got handed again at the end after being imprisoned for like literally causing treason. You're like, what? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah,
but no,
Tyrion's
like,
writing was honestly
Varys just gets like
him.
Killed in like such an unceremonious way, and it was supposed to show like Dany going darker, and it was done so poorly where I was like, what? Like, no one mentioned
just
it.
Like,
no one said anything after that. I was like,
her whole thing too, what makes me so mad about her is that I would say 9 out of 10 things that she did wrong, you can't see me, but like quotations wrong, if Jon Snow had done them, people would have been like,
speak on it.
It's yeah. You know, he had to do what he had to do. Mm-hmm. He's the king. He's the whatever. He's
following
because it was her doing it, because it was a woman, because it was a Targaryen who went, they go mad, then it was like, oh, she's going dark. She's going dark.
They caused her to go crazy. I stand by that.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. But, like, most of the things that she did, I was like, is it a little harsh? Yeah, but also, who isn't being harsh in this time?
Yeah.
Literally everyone. Everyone is killing someone if they think that they might stab them in the back. So, like, but when Daenerys says that she's crazy. She's crazy.
Yeah, literally.
It's like, no, like, Varys died because he was scheming behind Daenerys's back to her hand. And then people were like, she's gone mad. Huh? Any other king would have done that. Any other king would have done that. Jon Snow would have done that. Like, but the difference is because it was Daenerys.
And Jon Snow did do that a lot of times. He betrayed every single place that he was in.
Actually, I can't even talk about it. I can't even talk about it because Jon Snow pisses me off so much. And people will actually, like,
and he's so beloved.
People get so mad at my opinions on Jon Snow. Like, it's actually, I've talked to friends about it who, like, love Jon Snow. And it's gotten to the point where I'm like, we just got to disagree. Like, we can't talk about it. Like, it's become, like almost like politics where I'm like, yeah, like, we just can't talk about it. Like, we just have different opinions.
The way
that
people talk about him is if they're talking about Gandalf. Because some people have strong opinions about Gandalf. There are some Gandalf haters and there's some Gandalf like true, like he is God. And like it's like people treat Jon Snow like that, where it's like he's
Gandalf or Dumbledore.
I think you're thinking Dumbledalf.
No, Gandalf.
Yeah, because
Gandalf is way more Gandalf.
Pretty much everybody loves Gandalf.
I've met a couple dislike people Gandalf. In person. No, I met people in person who are some people strong about their hatred of Gandalf.
Some people dislike Gandalf, but it's majority love Gandalf. Whereas like Jon Snow is like
Dumbledore.
Dumbledore is actually more widely disliked now.
Well, I've never seen all of the Harry Potter, so I don't have a say in the.
Oh yeah. Oh, and that will definitely change your opinions.
Yeah.
Tabby, how have you not seen?
I know this Harry is Potter. The thing. Well, because we weren't allowed.
I tried showing
every
them to
other
her
sibling.
And she gets bored.
No, I like them. I we just haven't gotten around to
I have tried showing them to you, and then we always get to Goblet of Fire, and then you're like, I'm bored.
No, not Leah. You're misremembering last year. We watched two of them, and I was like, cute. And then I forgot about them. I'm so down to watch them. No, I am. I'm so down to watch them.
Well,
just
you can watch
them
by yourself.
When
them.
You, come out, when you come out for Christmas, we'll watch it. Tabs, it's a good Christmas vibe.
No, I'm down. I've seen the first three
You'd have to start after Goblet of Fire.
No. I like Leah. You're misremembering. Goblet of Fire is my favorite one. I like that one out of all the other ones. I've only watched up to Goblet of Fire. I haven't seen after that.
I know you have. Because you always end up being like, I'm kind of bored.
I like Goblet of Fire, Leah. That's my favorite one.
Okay, y'all. Okay.
Wouldn't be recording unless you guys are fighting. So.
But okay, I'll say my last show and then I'll be done. Since I have taken.
Dang, I wish I would have put three. I have so many I could talk about.
I couldn't.
Jurassic Park, Pirates of the Caribbean.
You can add another one at the end, Sarah. I'll allow it because I'll probably be talking
about
mine.
It's fine. So the other one I talk about, it'll be shorter, but I wanted to do one that I felt like was more recent. So mine is. Why am I blanking? Oh my god, that's like embarrassing.
Did you not write it down?
No,
of course she didn't.
Why would you
do any prep for a podcast?
Sorry,
ever?
Why am I actually blanking, guys? This is the pregnancy brain in real time.
Did you ask Simon? Does he know?
You said it's newer.
No, I'll look it up. I know the show. I just am literally blanking on the.
Name. Gotcha. Oh, okay.
The name.
I thought you completely blanked.
Obviously,
on what,
I know the show.
The
I'm like recommending a show I haven't seen before.
The Summer
Arcane. That's what it is. Oh my god.
Oh yeah, you do like that. Good things about Arcane.
Here are the reasons why. A, it's newer. The other ones I talked about are like...
Oh, wait, no, never mind.
Huh?
I forgot about Game of Thrones. I thought you did all three cartoons because I wasn't including One Piece, but...
So, Arcane is... I think the last season came out last year, was it? So, it's like way newer.
Mm-hmm. The art style is gorgeous.
The art style is beautiful. It's two seasons, so it's super non-committal, and the show is done. They might do spin-offs, but the show itself is done. It is beautiful. Between the art style, the music, the characters, it is just so compelling. It's so well done. I honestly don't even want to give people like what it's about because I think it's good to just go in and watch it because truly you get a lot from like just the first episode. I think there's like multiple, it's like one of the highest rated IMDb mm-hmm. shows of all time. Like it's like almost every episode I think is like a 9 or something. Like it's like,
oh wow,
very just well done. The voice actors are insane. Like the voice acting in that, I like forget that they're not those characters. Like that's how insane mm-hmm. it is. It's just beautiful. I think the second season is a little bit more wobbly than the first season. Cause kind of like similar, not like super similar, but similar to like what you're seeing in Midnight Mass is like, they kind of deviate from the original plot, which is kind of like the original plot was like kind of in the first season is really focusing on essentially like, there is like this, you know, there's this not like town or whatever, but there is like this place that's, is like, I'm so bad at explaining this stuff right now, but there is this place that's like wealthier and then there is a town and they're both technically like the same. I'm blanking on like a word for it. Like not town, not place.
Village.
I don't know. I'll say city. Country. I don't think it's country, but yeah. I'll just say country. They're the same country.
Region.
Okay. Region, whatever. I'm sure it's in the show. Give me a break, guys. I'm literally forgetting everything recently.
She's growing a human being.
Yeah, seriously. But so I'm going to say it's like one country or one kingdom. I'll say kingdom. There we go. That's a better word for it. There's this kingdom. And there is the like, you know, better, richer, you know, area. And then there's kind of like the slums, essentially. Mm-hmm. And the first season really focuses on the struggles of the characters in the slums and how the government and the military really just do not help out in the slums at all. They really overlook, like they almost have completely separated the two. And how like there's like this massive drug problem going on in the slums. And there's like this person who's like largely profiting off of it. And it's like very, very interesting. But then you're watching it and you're also like, you know, you kind of understand why there's this drug problem going on. And it's like, I'm not explaining it well, but it's so good. And that was kind of like more of what the first season was about, is like this kind of pull between the rich and the poor. It mm-hmm. makes you kind of like realize that it's like, because there's these two enemies that are kind of going against each other. And then it starts to kind of realize like, okay, but who's the real enemy? Is it us fighting against each other mm-hmm. or is it the, you know, mm-hmm. the rich and the government?
I always find stuff not like that very interesting.
And yeah. it's so mm-hmm. well done. Way better than I'm explaining mm-hmm. right now. But, and so it's like, that's kind of like the essence of the first season. Okay. The second season, it starts to get a little bit more, supernatural. And sometimes I'm like, just stick to the original plot. But it starts to get a little bit more supernatural. It still has a lot of those elements in it. But that's kind of like, I feel like where the second season starts to falter a little bit. It doesn't end as strong, mm-hmm. But it's still so good. It's so, so mm-hmm. good. I would recommend it.
Yeah, it sounds really
anyone.
Good.
It's two seasons. It's just beautiful.
I've only ever heard good things from people who have seen it.
So. I think yeah, people just same. Don't watch shows like that and Avatar and other shows.
Cartoon.
Because they're cartoon. And mm-hmm, I will advocate right. for those shows till the day I die. Yeah. Like
there's a lot
just,
more they can good. Do with those.
There's so much mm-hmm. more you can do because you don't yeah. have to spend as much on a budget. Mm-hmm. Like you mm-hmm. do have, it's, you know, it takes good money to like
you make can also suspend a lot of disbelief yes. when you're drawing yes. things. And yeah, yeah. totally agreed. Yep.
I love that you guys chose ones that I haven't seen too. I love that.
Yeah, I tried to pick stuff that I felt like are a little more obscure, stuff that kind of also relates with what Buffy is and stuff like that, which I mean, obviously that's my niche. Andrew's like, you're gonna love this, you're gonna love this. And I'm like, okay. And then we're watching it and I'm like, all right, yeah, the religious aspect. And then I was like, vampires, blah, blah, blah. And then halfway through, I was like, wait, there are vampires. And Andrew's like, he was beaming. He's like, aww. I picked a show for you.
That's cute.
I love that. Alrighty.
All right, Tabs.
Well, I already told y'all earlier, but I'm doing Hill House. Leah's seen it all. And Sarah's seen like the finale, which hurts my heart, but
I've seen bits and pieces of the show in between.
So this is mainly just like a take for anyone listening and mainly to convince Sarah to watch the entirety of it. Like I'm just selling the show to people. I'm also going to like kind of tie in a little bit with Bly Manor, because I think Hill House is like every single episode is top tier. There's only like nine, I think, eight or nine. And it's just one arc. It's the same. He uses a lot of the same actors. He uses his wife in every single one of them, which I love. And I actually, speaking of Mike Flanagan, I had watched two movies of his that are horror that I didn't know were his in high school, because my friends were like horror people. And I was like, I guess I don't like horror. And one of them I really hated is with Karen Gillan. It's Oculus.
Yeah.
I was reminded of it recently because I found it on Litterboxd and I wrote a review for it. And I was like, this traumatized me. It's not a bad movie. It's just I don't like horror like that. So it was like truly scary. Like there's a moment because it's like it's a demon getting like in like a mirror. And Karen Gillan is in it with her brother or something. Not her brother in the movie. And like there's a moment where the mirror is trying to mess with her. And she bites into an apple and the mirror makes it. Tricks her brain and makes her think she bites into a light bulb. And so in the movie, she's pulling out glass in her mouth. I was like freaking out as a teenager. That has stuck with me. And then it just horrible. Anyway, not a horrible movie, but one of the first movies he ever did.
We're all like, don't watch Oculus. Check.
People who like horror, though, really like Oculus. But anyway, I watched Hush, which I actually enjoyed, and it's not my sort of thing. But I think it's a remake of like the Audrey Hepburn movie, which is like she's blind and she has a home intruder. I actually really want to watch that. And she like won like an Oscar for it or was nominated or something. And then with Hush, it's his wife who plays a deaf person and she has a home intruder and she has to outthink him. And I like it because there's only one death and it's not brutal. And it's like, I think it's our neighbor or something. And it's the whole time is just really creepy because he's thinking, oh, I've got this in the bag. So he's playing with her. And then she has to outsmart him. And so it's just, it's really creepy, but it's really good. And his wife, Kate, is like just a fantastic actress. And she's in every one of his projects. And so Hill House and Bly Manor, I think Bly Manor is like takes a bit more to get into, but the ending is like the whole point of Bly Manor. Both of them have ghosts to showcase different things. Hill House is mainly to showcase like trauma, and then sibling dynamics and grief is like a huge thing in grief or in Hill House. And it is like a tight show. Every single episode is fantastic. It has two of my favorite episodes in television ever in Hill House. And Bly Manor is all about the difference between loving and possession. And they use that with different couples. And it's I think you would love it, Sarah, Bly Manor, because it's a gothic romance.
Yeah, I've seen bits and pieces of it.
Yeah, it's a gothic romance and with different couples. Mm-hmm. And like the ghosts are just like, it is gut-wrenching. And when you get to the ending of both shows, Mike Flanagan writes beautiful like soliloquies, like beautiful like speeches that some of these characters say, and it's like, I mean, you're sitting here going, wow, this is like not been cut, and it's been like 3 minutes and they're still going, and it's just like gorgeous.
He does that with Midnight Mass, except it doesn't quite hit. Okay. And so you're just like, it's been 3 minutes.
That's a bummer, because like in Hill House and Bly Manor, they are beautiful.
You should watch Midnight Mass and then tell me how it compares.
I should. Yeah. I know the people, like when they talk about his miniseries, it's always like Hill House is the top. But and then Bly Manor, I just love because there's like one particular ghost, because it's not ghosts in general. It's they're in a house and they're stuck there, which I love. Like there's a mansion and there's one called Lady in the Lake. And every night she walks out of the lake and then just walks into the room and then goes back into the lake. It is I love it. And this whole episode about the origin of the Lady of the Lake. It is so good. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Hill House. So if I'm trying to get people to watch the show, I am not, I keep saying this, but a lot of my favorite things are horror, but I'm not a horror fanatic. I just think that there is a niche.
You like a specific genre of horror.
There is a niche in horror that I can really get behind. And is when you use the whole point of like elevated horror. I sound really pretentious when I say that, but is to have a commentary on people and life and relationships. And I'm so for that. Like you're using extremes and you're using horrific scenarios and ghosts and extreme things to have a commentary on stuff. And mm-hmm. I think that's really gorgeous. And like there's five siblings in Hill House. And I love it because not only are every single actor top notch, like there's not a weak link, but they have young actors to play younger versions of them, and they are just as good. You have young McKenna Grace, who's in everything now, and then you have I forget her name, but she's like in Megan. She's also in like she's younger version of Florence Pugh's character in Black Widow. Just like excellent kid actors, and they flash back and forth between their younger when they lived like one summer in a haunted house, and then them as adults, and it is like. Which makes you just like really root for these characters because you see them as kids and like you just like really feel for them and you love both versions. And it's like especially like Luke struggles with addiction. I'm going to talk about the archetypes of the characters, but I won't tell you like the like how it ends. But like he struggles with addiction and you see him as a kid and he's like the sweetest little like angel. And then like you really feel for him and like how some people can just get lost in grief and like – and just like the struggles that they go through. And then just like there is a lot of avenues in how they tackle grief in different characters. And one of them is through Nell, which is my favorite character. And she is Victoria Petretti's character. And she's the youngest. Her and Luke are twins. And like all kind of. So there's like three, because Sarah was like, she's like, give us three reasons why. So I went really on script.
You Tabby guys like actually did three reasons. Leah took that and went three things I love.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, God, I put three bullet points and then I just went super on script. But the first thing is like realistic, complex sibling dynamics. And I said each sibling isn't just a stereotype. They're well-written and realistic. And then the way they interact with each other is like, you know, when you watch a movie about siblings and you're like, I guess like sometimes, but you watch this and you're like, wow, like they all, like some of them will kind of like talk kind of crap about the other person. They're like, oh, that's just Nell. And like, that's the whole point. Like Nell really struggles with depression and grief. And like, she is like swallowed by it. And her specific ghost that follows her, it's supposed to be a depiction of depression. And I'm not going to give away because there's like a whole thing with that. But the first five episodes are an centric for each sibling. So the first five ones are like in order from the oldest to the youngest. So she's the last one. She's the fifth episode. And that's one of my favorite episodes of television ever. Like it ends in a way where you're like gutted because it finally gets to her because she kind of is sprinkled because she's like one that kind of lingers throughout the whole show. You're like kind of wondering like mm-hmm. what's going on with Nell because like she'll call siblings. She'll call siblings throughout like the first couple episodes and each sibling will like deny her call because they're like, oh, Nell's like struggling again. Like they're not taking her seriously. Mm-hmm. Or like just like the idea of grief and how it can be inconvenient. Like that's a huge thing mm-hmm. with Nell. And I really mm-hmm. like resonate with her in a lot of ways where it's just like she's like pulling herself up and she's still like frustrating people, you know, like, and her siblings love her and they want to be there for her, but they're also like, I'm like, this is a lot to deal with. And that's also fair. And it's like, and then there's moments where you're just like, oh my word, but she really needs it right now. And all of her siblings are busy, you know, like, and you're just like, cause you see her perspective and it's just like, oh, like it's so gut wrenching. Second thing is like the exploration of varying types of trauma and coping mechanisms through horror/ghost metaphors. And then I said each ghost being, in quotes, assigned to different siblings to showcase their specific traumas and inner motivations and struggles. But anyway, those are the siblings. And then again, like the complexities of grief is my third topic or my third bullet point. And then I just said like how inconvenient it is when you're going through grief about sometimes with yourself and others around you, like it ebbs and flows. It's not just like this straight path that you go through. And then not being believed fully and then annoyed by stagnation. So like other people being like, well, why can't you just be up to a certain point? So there's this like frustration too with grief. Stigmatization with other siblings, because a lot of them will be like, well, that's just how Nell is, or that's how Luke is. And then sometimes with sibling dynamics, it can be like that because you're also holding them to different past versions, or maybe like stuff that you've seen have recycled, and maybe it's for a different reason than you think it is. It's just a very interesting exploration of that with sibling dynamics. But anyway, yeah, that's like me really trying hard not to give spoilers. But
yeah.
Yeah. Also, if you're going to watch the show, please look up trigger warnings, because there's a lot in there that would be very heavily triggering when it comes to just like, you know, mental health, a whole list of that. So, yeah. And then also watch Blind Manor. Very good. And I should watch Midnight Mask. And like, that makes me
watch Mike Flanagan's shows.
I know. I need to see Fall of the House of Usher, but
I love that. I love that short story, but I know the show's slightly different, but the idea of it is so fascinating. I've always just loved gothic horror.
You would eat up Blind Manor for sure.
You know, Wuthering Heights, Jane Eyre, like all the stuff. There's so much you can do. The book is really good.
Here's the thing. Maybe really, if I watched really it good. As an adult, I would like it. But I remember watching it as a kid, and I was traumatized.
We watched the weird 90s version I didn't like. Maybe we would like.
Yeah, so now there hasn't really been a very good version to watch. The book itself is so, so good, though. But yeah, I'm just a sucker for gothic and horror. But also, horror is having such a moment right now, such a resurgence. And there's some fantastic writers and directors and filmmakers out there who are just making some really good stuff. And it's such a treat to watch stuff that is entertaining, but also, like, there's a lot of depth to it, too. So there's mm-hmm. some good stuff out there. But yeah, I think we will save our stuff that we hate, our hater stuff, for another day, because I think we've talked enough here. But guys, let us know that stuff that you're watching. If you've watched any of the stuff that we've talked about here and you have any thoughts about it, let us know. And then give us suggestions for things that we should watch if we haven't mentioned anything that you are really loving right now. Yeah, and we'll come back and we'll talk about shows that we hate and why, because, you know, why not? Maybe we'll add some movies in there. And then I have like a whole laundry list. I just keep thinking of more and more ideas of things that we could do to just for fun. Andrew gave the suggestion of She's the Man. Wouldn't that be so fun to just talk about?
I mean, like, you know, I love She's the Man.
I love that movie. Welcome, it's so funny. Awesome. Andrew welcome, loves it welcome, too. Welcome,
welcome. No one dislikes that movie. Sometimes that's like a vocal there's scene. No way you don't love that movie.
I know.
It hits from beginning to end. Normally with comedies, they fall apart in the last quarter. Like, they're funny. Like, I love How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. So, so good. The last, like, quarter of the movie, I feel like always just kind of drops off.
It stops being comedy. It's more just the romance.
Because they have to sell the romance at that point.
They struggle with the tonal shift to go from it being straight comedy to, oh, now we have to be serious. They actually like each other. And She's the Man, to me, just kind of hits that perfectly.
I love how it's become a cult classic. The amount of TikToks I've seen of people being like, this is a top tier 10 out of 10 movie, like all the time.
Yeah.
But also, I've just been going back and rewatching a lot of classics, movies that I haven't seen in a long time. I rewatched the Pirates of the Caribbean trilogy, the OG trilogy.
God, yeah,
guys,
so good.
There's nothing like them. Like, the first one is obviously in a tier all of its own, but the other two are decent too. I love them. They're so good. So I would just love to just talk about the things that we love about that and all the behind the scenes. Did you guys know that there's like a whole cut sequence in I think either the second or third one that talks about how the Black Pearl, the reason why it got sunk was because initially Johnny Depp,
Jack Sparrow was commissioned by the British officers to transport slaves, and he refused. Oh, and that's why he lost his ship. And that's why he says people aren't cargo, mate. Like, there's a whole scene that was cut, and it creates this whole interesting thing that I really wish they'd kept in and stuff. But there's like a lot of behind the scenes stuff that would be really fun to talk about. And I mean, the movies themselves are just really, really fun too. So yeah, well, we'll come up with something at some point. Obviously, we're trying to also be sensitive to the fact that the holidays are coming up and Leah is having a baby. So we might, it might be a while before we like release anything else. But yeah, we'll be back at some point, and yeah, it'll be great. So thanks so much for listening, guys, and send in your stuff. Let us know what you think, and we'll talk to you next time.